Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out.
I call it the one day wager. This idea that one, and this is true of any change in a relationship, the idea that one day this person is going to be everything I want.
Yeah.
One day they're going to want kids.
You can't date on potential or what you believe is their potential.
Nope.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. It's part two with one of the world's most sought-after dating and relationship experts, Matthew Hussey. If you haven't listened to my first interview with Matthew earlier this week, that's okay. You can always go back and listen. We talked about the advice that's made Matthew one of the top dating and relationship experts in the world. We get into that fear of rejection in dating. Fear holds us back from so many situations. We have it at work, we have it during job interviews, and we definitely have it in dating. You are so worried on a date that you worry more about if they like you than if you actually like them. You're worried about your appearance, you know, you're nervous. And then as a result of that, we aren't even really ourselves. We also, in the last episode, talk about invest and test as a method in dating. And Matthew coined this phrase, talks about how investment is a mutual exchange. We want to invest in someone who invests in us. So we give a little, then we see if they move a little to meet us where we're at. We have to keep moving forward. So you want to invest a little and then test. Well, in this episode, part two, we continue the conversation and dive into some big topics. We talk about how you can build chemistry and how that differs from connection, signs that someone is actually invested in you, ways to foster attraction without losing yourself in the person, and the drawbacks of what Matthew calls the one-day wager. Oh, well, this person's going to be great once we get together, once they realize I'm the one, once they stop drinking, once they blah, blah, blah. We also discuss the importance of consistency in your actions and words, the difference between healthy romance and love bombing, when you should first sleep with someone, and whether or not Matthew Hussey believes in the one. All right, intentions with Emily. For each episode, join me in setting an intention for the show. I do it, and I encourage you to do the same. So my intention is to point out some of the common challenges we face in dating and ways to quickly overcome them or at least recognize them. We also have a new article on the site. It's 8 tips for the best anal ever. Happy Anal Sex Month. Oh, and also, I just want to remind you, if you haven't yet, please subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen. We so appreciate it. You'll easily get the episodes. We release 2 to 3 podcasts a week. And I always want to hear from you. If you want to ask me questions, just call my hotline. It's 559-TALK-SEX. Or 559-825-5739. You can also message me at sexwithemily.com/askemily. All right, everybody, enjoy this episode. What does that mean, being authentic? That's what we're attracted to. It's not because this person looked perfect once we get beyond the surface. It's that we saw a part of themselves. We saw their heart, or we saw their...
Yeah.
Right, don't you think?
Yeah. Authenticity is a weird thing because being authentic is kind of an oxymoron, exactly. Right? I've been making videos since I was 19.
Wow.
I'm 34 now. I mean, my God, it's felt like an entire lifetime. And I, too, have grown up through those videos and made all sorts of giant mistakes.
Yes, we've been doing, oh my God, yeah.
And I can look back at those videos of me when I was 19, 20, 21, and I'm there in that body somewhere. But there's also layers of me trying to be something. And it's a weird thing because I know I can see the spark in me, but I can also see layers of me trying to be a thing. And over my 20s and now my 30s, I've come to learn what's unique about me, what works about me. And one of the advantages of making videos online is that people tell you. They also tell you what doesn't work about you, but they tell you what works about you. I love you for this reason.
What do people say they love you for? What? What have you learned?
Well, probably the number one thing I get is authenticity. Mm-hmm. I mean, they also love, people love the practicality of the advice. And I heard that over and over again, and insightful. And so when I hear those things, it's, you start to strip away all of these other layers of things and just, you still have those flavors of the influences you've had along the way, but you're not trying to be that. You're just trying to borrow some inspiration from those things. But really the dominant thing becomes your own voice and what you learn works about your voice that's specific, may not be unique to you, but it's specific to you. And you lean into that. That becomes the thing that you actually become really proud of. It shouldn't be an excuse for not practicing other things or being multidimensional, because I can still go on stage and say, you know what? I'm going to practice a certain element of my performance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to practice the comedy element of it, or I'm going to practice this element of it. You can still refine your skill sets, but the essence of you is what's the same and what's authentic, and people can feel it. You know it when someone's talking from a truthful place. It's mm-hmm. it's a weird sort of visceral experience when you listen to an interview and you go, that person's not being something else, or
right.
that person's
They're
not
just being real. How do we know that on a date, though? You know, sometimes we, you know, fall in love quickly, and this actually happened to me right before the pandemic. I was dating somebody and it was love bombing. It was. You know, you're never done learning. But I was so taken by him and all the feelings and all the connection that we had. And it was very classic. He was telling me all the ways we needed to see each other again, how he'd never felt this way, that we should travel together. We had mutual friends who had never seen him this way before. And I was literally swept off my feet. And it was only for about a month. You know, there was a pandemic and we were separated and he lived in another country. But I think that I was swept up in these emotions because it feels so good to have somebody that is so very much into you and feeling so seen by somebody that I just was taken. I thought that I knew better than to fall for this guy that was like, we are everything and I love you and we're going to be traveling here and there. And I was like, oh my God, you know, and not that it wasn't real. Like, I think it was real. We had this great connection.
Right.
But do you try to teach us to people? Like, how do you know? Because I think you still make mistakes.
Well, people say a lot of things that they can't back up. It doesn't mean they don't mean them.
In the moment. Right, right, right.
People can, we've all said things that we really meant. And then a day later, we were like, I've invited people to my house.
Yes.
And meant it.
Until
and then 10 minutes
up.
Later, thought, why on earth?
Especially as an introvert,
have
like,
I invited people to my house?
Right, exactly.
I don't want to do this. You know, I meant when I sent the text, I really meant it. I really meant, come over. Let's have a great time.
So my team knows this too. I change my mind every 10 minutes. I'm like, no,
yeah.
I said that, but check in with me in the morning because I might not.
But see, that, Emily, is like a beautiful, that's a
is beautiful,
beautiful realization.
Is it beautiful? Tell my staff that.
Well, knowing that as a life lesson, that someone can say something, and even if they mean it, that's not where the credibility comes from. The credibility comes from the ability to deliver. And when someone says something to you so quickly, before you really know them, and before it, you could argue before it's earned, right? But certainly before you know them, then you have no measure for the consistency of their actions meeting their words.
So it's consistency.
It's consistency. It's is this person someone whose words over time match their actions? And it's simply something I can't know in the beginning. I can go on a date and someone can look at me and go, you're amazing and we should do this and we should do that and I want to be with you and whatever. And it's fine. You might mean it. You might.
But you don't have the history.
It's not incumbent on me to trust that right now. Like, that's not my job to believe every single thing that's said right now, because if it's not said at an organic pace, then I need to let this play out in an organic way before I realize that it has any gravitas, any real merit. It's not that you should distrust what people say. It's not that someone says something on a date and you should go, you're lying, or you'll never be able to back that up. It's not that. But that's not the same as believing either. Inside, you don't say this out loud, but inside it's more of a, I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, checking with people. So when you're saying words and actions, people always want to know, like, what's more important. They're both important, is what we're saying, the consistency, right? Consistency with your words and actions.
Yeah. It's not that words never matter.
Okay. Right.
And there are some people, here's a great example of this. Someone can be showing up as if they're in a relationship with you. They're always at your house. You're always at theirs. You're like in this just complete love fest of what seems to be a relationship, but they never say what
it is. They never say the words.
And
you never
talk about it. And then you end up getting really hurt because you're like, but they acted like my boyfriend.
Right.
But the words never matched it, you know? And then it can be the other way around. Someone can tell you all the right things. But their actions don't back it up. So then you can kind of get to a point where you go, well, where then? What do I
believe? And some of us focus more on work. We're like, but they said this, they said this. We're like, but look at their actions. So do you help people track this? Because I do this with my friends too. They'll break up with someone. I'll be like, can we write down all the things that you don't, that went wrong? Because then you're going to put them on this pedestal and you're going to remember all these great things they did. But do you remember the time they forgot your birthday or they said they did this thing? So I think you got
to
track it.
Sober view.
Right?
Here's a nice kind of litmus test. When people are telling you things you want to hear, it's hard to know where you stand. When someone goes out of their way to tell you something you don't want to hear, that you can trust.
Okay. Give me an example.
You can't always trust when someone tells you, you're the best thing ever. I want to be with you. I want this. I want that. Whatever. You can't always try. You have to let things play out. You don't distrust it either, but you have to let them play out. If someone says, I don't want a relationship, you can believe them because that's not helping them get laid tonight.
Exactly. Believe it.
You know, in a pharmaceutical ad, where like at the end of the ad, they've just done the whole thing.
Like, might cause heart.
They've shown old people skipping through a meadow, happy. They've got no back pain anymore. They're fine, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then at the very end of the ad, there's the small print and there's the guy with the really fast voice. Who says,
might cause stomach problems. You might die. Might turn your hair blue. You might, lose your children. You might lose. Yeah, right, exactly.
Now, you can believe that part because they didn't want to put it in the ad. If the pharmaceutical ad could choose to omit that part,
they would.
They're saying it because those have been some of the side effects. So if you can trust any part of this ad, it's that part.
Exactly.
The same is true in dating. If you can trust any part of what someone says, it's the truth that's inconvenient for them to say.
What are some of those truths that we just ignore that you hear what he told
me? I just feel like I'm just not really ready for anything. I don't really want to have a serious relationship right now. Or I don't know if I see this going anywhere or whatever. And now, of course, what do people do? They go on a mission to find all of the evidence against that.
Right.
But he's been calling me.
And again, change his mind.
And the next day, but he said that, but now he's calling me. So, friend, look, he's still texting me. So he must be confused. No, you're confused.
He just told you that.
He literally told you the ultimate disclaimer. He's the pharmaceutical ad who just gave you the small print at the end. But you now rewound to the old people skipping in the meadow with no more back pain.
We just skipped over that part. So do you tell people just then listen to it? Like if you want a relationship and this person just told you they don't, do you even need to wait another 5 minutes in this relationship?
Here's the tricky part. Most people have got a story about someone who said they didn't want a relationship.
That's true. I'm going to be the one that changed their mind.
Yeah. And some people have friends that did. I was with Dan in the beginning, he said he didn't want a relationship. And look at him now. We're married with two kids, whatever. That's something guys say. Well, okay. That might happen. This person might come around.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that the way they come around is by you sticking around.
Right.
You know, in all attraction, it's about showing your best as much as possible so that somebody else can see how wonderful it would be to be with you, mm-hmm. whilst not risking more than you can afford to lose. So let me put something practical around that. If you were 35, you want kids, and you're like, this is something I really want in my life. Can you afford to give 10 years of your life to someone who says they're not sure about having kids? No. Probably not. That would be a very, very dangerous bet to make. That's giving up more than you can afford to lose right now.
Right.
If someone says, I'm not sure that I want a relationship, can you go out on a date with them and have a good time? You can decide whether you want to sleep with them or not, but don't sleep with them if you're going to be resentful if it doesn't go anywhere.
Right.
Right. That's the rule. It's not about should you, shouldn't you, or whatever. Do not do it if you're...
You have to know yourself.
If you're going to wake mm-hmm. up feeling used.
Right.
Own what you do. And if you can show someone the best side of you and they say they don't want a relationship, and then you say, okay, then I'm not going to keep sleeping with this person because we're never one thing or the other. Right. I'm just going to get stuck in this loop. But still, when this person sees me out and about, I'm just going to be wonderful. Mm-hmm. Not yes. going to be cold, not going to be resentful. I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to give them any of that. I'm just going to be wonderful. And they're right. going to see me being wonderful. And if they come around, great. I'm not even going to give them cold. I'm going to be warm.
You have to always
doesn't,
be warm.
Doesn't mean I'm going to.
It's so bitter.
I'm not going to like give right. this person everything they want, but I'm going to give them great energy and I'm going to give them a chance to see what they're missing. But I'm not going to invest based on the idea that they're going to come around. That's a really, I call it the one day wager. This idea that one, and this is true of any change in a relationship. The right. idea that one day this person is going to be everything I want.
Yeah.
One day they're going to want kids. One day
you
they're going to.
You can't date on potential.
Nope.
Or what you believe is their potential and nope. that people are going to change because people don't change unless they want to. We're going to take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. However, when we come back, Matthew reveals questions to ask yourself to figure out if the person you're seeing is actually interested in you. We'll be right back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. So how do you know if somebody is invested then? Let's say, is there certain signs that you know, because so all of our bullshit gets in the way, right? Our own insecurities and our childhood and our past relationships, the past partner cheated on me or this, no one ever loves me the way I want to be loved. But when you're with someone, do you ever find that there's some people that you're coaching that you have to say to them, no, this actually looks good. This actually looks healthy. Like, how do you know when someone's, are there certain signs like this is how you know someone's invested?
I think that it's, are they genuinely curious about you? Mm-hmm. Do they want to get to know you better? Are they actually trying to get to know you and see if you have the same values? Because any narcissist can go around impressing people. Right. You know, oh, he gave me the best date. He must have cared because we had such an amazing date. Well, you're going to have a narcissist who gives a great date, because what do they really want? They want you to get to the end of the date and be in love with them. Mm-hmm. So that's not really a sign that someone's investing. It's a sign that they're trying to impress. Are they impressed by you? Do they seem to actually understand you, see you, accept you? Are they excited to keep seeing you? Do they actually go out of their way? You know, is it always on their terms? You always come to their part of town. It's always on their diary, their schedule. Or are they actually meeting you halfway? It's when you genuinely feel like the investment or the effort is mutual. And we can normally feel it when it's not. That's a different thing from, you know, they go to a party one night and all of your anxiety comes out. You know, oh my God, are they going to meet someone? And then they don't text you for a couple of hours and you're like, something's wrong. They, you know, now like there's a story in your head. That's not lack of investment. That could just be our stuff coming to the table. And in that moment, we've got to slow down the story that's happening in our head and say, you know what, I'm actually going to allow this to reveal itself to me instead of bringing my monsters to the table. I'm going to allow this to reveal itself to me. But is the effort equal? You know, do you send someone, it's fine to send someone a text in the morning and say, hey, I hope you have a great day today. You know, how are you this morning? It's okay to send that text. Don't send it the next 3 days.
Okay.
Let's see if they do the same. What people do is they say, but he always replies. Well, that's not the same thing.
Right.
Someone always saying yes isn't the same thing as someone giving you the invite, someone reaching out to you. And so it's those moments where you invest a little and you see if the effort is equal.
Well, this is back to the investing, the invest and test. What did you say?
Invest and test.
Okay. Yeah. So people are like, oh, well, don't double text or wait for them to initiate. So how much of it is this still this chasing and not like what?
Not everything has to be like tit for tat, where it's, but there's a cadence, there's a rhythm you should pay attention to.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you're confident, you can be like, oi, where are you? You know, you can be playful about that. But if you're doing it again on the third message, then it's like, well, now why are you doing this? Because they've ignored two. So why send a third?
Right.
It doesn't always have to be like, I did this, now you do that, now I do this, now you do that. But is there a rhythm that seems like it's always in the same direction? Jameson and I call it being in the blue. You know, when you look at your phone, are you in the blue? Or is it like every message is a blue message and you're waiting for them? That's a problem. And sometimes even in people's text messages, you can see unequal investment.
Yes, yes.
You can literally see that this person's giving one-line answers and this person's writing paragraphs. And it doesn't, and it sounds petty and it sounds silly and pedantic and whatever. And people will say, oh my God, this is the thing. People always write, you know, oh God, does it have to be this much work? Oh, is it have? I always find it a silly thing to say. No, it doesn't have to be this much work. If you just pay attention to whether someone is showing up in the way that you are, it absolutely doesn't have to be this much work.
Okay, that's the main thing. Are they showing up in the way I do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have to be aware of that lesson. Otherwise, if you're one of those people like, I don't need to learn all of this. I'm just going to go and be me or whatever. Well, you can go and be you and you ignore every red flag going.
Are there common red flags, speaking of red flags, that you see?
I went on a date where the person was 20 minutes late.
Mm.
I was mad.
Really? You're like, time.
I was mad. Here's why I was mad. I was mad because I rushed to get there on time. I left work before I wanted to get there on time. And then I'm sat in this restaurant and 20 minutes go by. I called Jameson. I called Jameson and I'm like, dude, I just want to leave. He's like, just stay. It'll be fine. You'll be all right. When she gets there, you'll realize you've just made too much of it, whatever. And the person showed up and she was like, oh my God, my friend had, I don't know what it was, like taken the car or something. How are you? In my head, I was like, that's a moment where you say sorry.
Sorry. Yes. I can't stand for little Sam. Sorry. That is such.
That's a sorry moment.
Yes.
That's not a oh God moment. That's a, hey, I'm
so sorry to keep you waiting. Yeah.
Yeah. That's to me like a big red flag.
Yes.
And people ignore that stuff. Why? Because the person opposite them is hot.
Right. Right. Exactly. They're so hot that they can't. I forgot that happened. You know, I'm going to just bury that.
Yeah. And I refuse to ignore that stuff. I refuse to ignore it because I know that ignoring it, I ignore it at my peril. What I ignore today shows up tomorrow or a year from now or 2 years from now. And most relationships end the way they began.
That's true. That's true. My mom always says the issues you have in the third date, you'll have forever.
Yep. And what people do is they go out every night drinking with someone for the first week, and this person just gets smashed. And then in year three, they go, I had to break up with them. Their drinking was just driving me crazy.
Exactly. You're like, they were been drinking since the first day. Which part of you didn't know that they were drinking? Exactly. So Matthew, do you believe in the one?
No, I don't. I believe, I believe it's nuanced. I think someone becomes the one. They don't start as the one. They become the one by what you build with them. I, the way I've described it in the past is that when you meet someone that you like and they like you, that's like two people coming to a plot of land that has potential. Maybe it's by a lake, maybe it's in the forest, maybe it's in a beautiful part of a city, but you have this plot of land that has potential. It still is just a plot of land. What then happens is you see if you have a builder, if you are mutual builders. So you start building this house or this castle or this cottage, and gradually by accretion, it becomes this beautiful structure. And the more you build it, the more it becomes yours. You know, there are secret passageways only the two of you know about, and the stone on the outside becomes weathered in its own unique way, and it has all the markings and the makings of your relationship, that argument you once had, that thing you did for each other, the difficult time you got through, the storm you weathered, becomes yours. That to me is a relationship. That's what becomes the one, is that you build something together over time. The reason so many people, we're all opening ourselves up to get hurt if we try in our love lives. But the reason people get hurt beyond what's necessary, the reason they walk into unnecessary suffering, is because instead of valuing the castle that they're building or will build with someone, they value the connection. They value the plot of land. And the plot of land, which to me is just connection, you meet someone, oh, we have an amazing connection. And that's what you hear, isn't it? Someone's treating me badly. And what you hear from someone is, but we have such an amazing connection. It's like saying, we have such an amazing plot of land. I don't care. You need a relationship needs two builders.
Yes. So if some person's building it, looking at the land and how are we going to build on the land, and the other person just like...
And the other person's like having a cup of tea on the side of the road, then you don't have a builder. And it doesn't matter how great the plot of land is. It's useless to you. You have to start valuing the castle over the connection. And that to me is how someone becomes the one, because they reveal themselves to be the best builder you've ever met.
You both are working in the relationship. But yeah, that makes, I mean, I feel like, oh, you don't believe in soulmates or the one, you're just going to find someone. I'm like, I think you could have many ones. I don't think there's one person that's waiting for you.
I always just love the story of like, you know, I met the one. How did you meet? In college. And you go, so let me get this straight. Out of 7 billion people, the one, firstly, wasn't Indian or Chinese, because there's a lot of them. Right? Why are more of us not married to people from other countries?
Exactly.
Somehow the one seems to be the other white person
who went to your college,
who took your same course and who happened to sit next to you. This is miraculous.
Exactly.
I suppose some people have more of an affinity with this kind of cosmic order, but I'm not.
What about chemistry? Is that the same as connection? Like, oh, we have such great chemistry, or we have this great energy. Do you think you can create that with anyone? Do you think it's a slow build? Like, what's your take on it?
Well, I think it builds up to a point. Well, I'm going to add one caveat. It's possible to be on a date with someone and not feel chemistry, not because they're not attractive, but because they are not showing any desire for you.
Yes.
I have been on dates in my life where I began by thinking this person's attractive. I ended the date, walked away, and felt no sign that this person was into me. There wasn't any desire. I didn't feel like this person gave me any compliment or didn't like, there wasn't even an energy from this person. And then we get off the date and a day later they say, hey, I'd love to see you again.
And you're like, really?
What?
What? Yeah.
What date was I on? Like, I was convinced this person didn't like me. So Now we don't have chemistry, not because there couldn't be chemistry, but because there's, for whatever reason, this person wasn't actually showing desire. Desire doesn't have to be, you're so sexy. Desire could be more subtle than that. It can be a prolonged look. It, you know, there's lots of ways to show it. But when someone doesn't, it's difficult for even potential chemistry to exist. If there's two people showing desire for each other and within three dates, you're not feeling any chemistry, I do think it's hard to start from a place of having none. I think you can take some chemistry and build on it, but I think it's hard if you're starting from a place of having zero chemistry.
Yeah, I think so too.
Unless you go to bed for the first time and it's unbelievable and suddenly there's a physical connection that you're like, wow, this, I wouldn't have guessed that you and I had chemistry, but when we touched and you like the same pressure I like and you fit with me in the way I want to do things and there's something like, there's something I hadn't predicted there. But I think if it's not there at that point, then saying that it's one day going to be there is very, very hard.
I got that. I agree with you. After the break, I asked Matthew what he thinks about sex on the first date. Don't go away. What do you think about this question? Because I love asking these things that I get asked all the time, like, oh, we should sleep together on the first date, or if you do, it's doomed, or you should wait to have sex. People always ask me, and I never give people numbers. I'm like, I am not giving you like a prescription here. Mm. I think that, feel it. If you feel like you can have sex with someone on the first date, doesn't matter where it goes, that's great. But like, do you ever hear stories of people like, well, I slept with them, so therefore I have to end this right now. Like, what are your takes on sex and dating?
Sex creates baggage for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's not actually, I don't think, that many situations that are truly casual. Things happen, you know, people get feelings, or they feel used, or they feel like, oh, I wouldn't have done it if I didn't think you were going to call, or if I thought this was going nowhere, then I wouldn't have done it. Then it wasn't casual. And so I do think that knowing yourself is essential. I do think that if you choose to have sex with someone, you better own it. And that means not doing the whole, oh my God, I can't believe I drank that much last night, blah, 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 nonsense. Like you can't, that comes across as weak. It comes across as self-loathing. It comes across as I'm not an adult. I'm like, oh, the booze did it to me. And it's like, well, what else does the booze do to you? How many other times does the booze do it to you? Or whatever? It's like, it's not, that's not sexy. Owning sex is sexy. That was so much fun. I had such a great time with you last night. That's sexy. So own it. And also there is an entitlement that can come after sex that's very dangerous, which is now that we've had sex, I'm going to start acting differently and I'm going to have very different expectations of you. And in a way, that's not quite ownership either, because it says this was attached to conditions I never told you about. And that's not to say, I'm not saying people have to wake up and be robots. Far from it. I'm saying if you have sex, do it and say to yourself, if nothing comes of this,
right, I'm going to be okay.
That's okay. That's all right. I took a chance.
Maybe I learned something. Maybe I had
learned something, whatever. I had fun or I took a chance. Maybe I thought it was going somewhere. It didn't go somewhere. Whatever. But own that process. Own that journey, whether it leads somewhere or it doesn't. When someone changes their energy after sex, they immediately start losing the appeal that they had before sex.
Mm. When they start getting more attached or more expectations, I suppose.
Suddenly there's a kind of seriousness about them and a pressure about them and a resentment if this doesn't happen or this doesn't happen. Whereas it should come out in the form of, if you're not happy with the way that it panned out after sex, then the next time someone tries to have sex with you, don't do it again. Explain why after last time you had a great time, but you didn't really feel the love afterwards. You were excited about it, but you didn't really feel any connection from him afterwards or her afterwards. And therefore, even though you had fun the first time, it doesn't make you want to go there again because, you know, you feel like maybe this person's in a different place to you or has different feelings to you. I was excited about, like, I kind of was excited about, you know, not to even, you don't even have to put a label on it. I don't know where it was going, but I was excited about, I was having fun with you and I feel like it kind of
shifted.
It petered out after that or whatever. And so I just don't, I don't know. I don't feel the same kind of motivation to keep this going on an intimate level. And that's the time to assert yourself.
That's such a good time. Yeah, we got to say these things.
But not resentment beforehand or expectation beforehand. Mm-hmm. It's like continue to be that great, playful, light energy in someone's life.
Yeah. Check in with what you're frustrated with someone about. Like, was there an expectation that you had that you didn't share? What do you, is it a lot of times it's just us, right? I don't know, people who get angry and needy because they've been hurt before.
It starts with a message to ourselves that says, if this doesn't go somewhere, then all it's shown me is that this person cannot be right for me. By definition, someone who's not trying cannot be right for me. I'm not going to be upset in that way. I can be disappointed. Disappointed's different, but I'm not going to be resentful. I'm just going to, it's information. That's a form of closure. No closure is closure.
Yeah, closure is bullshit. Yeah. So we don't need closure. So the closure was them not being responsive.
The closure is it didn't go anywhere.
Exactly.
That is closure by definition. So it's, I'm not saying don't be more connected to someone, but don't assume they're more connected to you.
We do assume that, don't we? We're like, if only this happened, they would know, or they're just kind of blocking themselves from really being connected
to me.
Yeah,
or we had sex. Well, or we had sex and I felt really connected and they must too. And if they didn't, then what? How, like, I don't get it. How can they not be connected? Well, maybe it was just sex to them. The real test is going to be, what's the rhythm after sex? But what doesn't help the rhythm is getting really heavy and frustrated or resentful or having high expectations after that happens. People will be like, oh, so Matt, you're giving people a mandate. Like, so I'm just supposed to sleep with people and it mean nothing and I'm supposed to be okay if it doesn't go anywhere or whatever. It's like, kind of, yeah. That doesn't mean that that person is entitled to anything more from you afterwards either. If they think that they, after having sex with you, are entitled to have sex with you again,
yeah,
they're wrong too.
Right.
You're wrong if you think sex entitles you to a deeper connection right now. And they're wrong if they think having sex with you entitles them to more casual sex. Both are wrong. There's only the rhythm that you allow. That's it. What rhythm do you allow? If you realize, oh, this person could be in casual. This seems to be what they want. They didn't text me for the last 3 days after we had sex, and now it's Friday night, and they're texting me again.
That's the worst.
Oh, I see. That's information.
Right, that's information.
And when someone's asking for something at that point, that's a nice juncture to remind them who you are if they didn't know yet.
Say,
and
it's not an aggressive way. Right, you just can say, oh, you know, hearing from you tonight, I thought I'd see you maybe a little bit earlier this week or hear from you. And that's just really not what I'm feeling right now. I'm not your hey you up chick at Friday night at midnight or whatever. Right.
That's exactly right.
So Matthew Hussey, this was amazing. Thank you for all your time. I'm going to ask you the 5 questions we ask all of our guests. They're quickie questions. What's your biggest turn on?
Emotional intelligence is like someone who's truly insightful is really, really like a massive turn on.
Biggest turn off?
Gossip.
What makes good sex?
Being truly comfortable in your body.
Something you would tell your younger self about sex and relationships. Younger Matt.
Pay attention to how much you might be hurting someone and how much that's going to hurt you later.
What's the number one thing you wish everyone knew about sex?
That it can be much more of a playground than you can ever imagine if you're actually willing to be seen and lose the fear of judgment.
Good. Matthew Hussey, where can people find you? What's all the places they can come interact with you?
There's a couple of fun things people can do. I'll give people 2 things.
Great.
If people want something practical for their dating lives, I have a really fun free guide called The 9 Texts, which gives people a bunch of text messages they can use to create attraction. That's at 9texts.com. If people are listening to this going, I want a deeper journey and I want to work on my confidence, either in my love life or in life in general, I have something really cool going on right now called the 30-Day Confidence Challenge. Ooh. And I'm literally taking people through both of these are free.
Oh, great.
I'm taking people through a free process where I give them 5 particular confidence challenges over 30 days. And we do them together and it's fun and it genuinely measurably improves people's confidence in 30 days. So if people go to MH Challenge, MH, my name, Matthew Hussey, mhchallenge.com. They can literally go and sign up to that challenge for free.
Cool. We'll put that all in the show notes as well. Easy to find. Thank you so much for being here, Matthew. Thanks, I appreciate you. That's it for today's episode. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to podcasts, and share this with a friend or a partner. Believe me, if you got something out of this episode, they will too. We release 2 to 3 episodes a week. Find me at Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all at Sex with Emily. If you'd like to ask me a question about sex or dating relationships, email me feedback@sexwithemily.com or sexwithemily.com/askemily. And check out my website. We have so many great articles diving deep into topics like how do I have multiple orgasms? How do I last longer in bed? How do I stop thinking about my ex? What sex toys should I try? And so much more. Sign up for weekly emails. I've been told I give really good emails. I do. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.